Hello, Grace Radio listeners. Welcome once again to the Sounds of Sovereign Grace. This is John Cardwell, pastor of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Anniston. And it is a blessing to join you to open up the scriptures today as we study the word together. We're in Acts chapter 3. If you have internet access, you may like to go to our website, sovereigngraceanniston.com, and just below the banner, or the header as it's called in the internet, just below the header on the left hand side, you'll see a gray box that says Grace Radio Notes at the bottom of about three line items. You click on that and it'll take you to the notes for this particular Bible study. Now, we're going to enter into Acts chapter 3, but we'll have to back up a little bit and speak on some things from Acts chapter 2. And before we do, let us go to the Lord and seek His guidance and His blessing. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that You have given us Your Word, that we may grow in grace and be strengthened in faith, that we may honor You with our lives. We pray that You'll give us understanding of Your Word, and we pray that, Lord, You'll be glorified in this time, and may we be empowered by Your Spirit to be obedient to Your Word, to do that which Your Word says, not because that's what gets us salvation, but because You have saved us by Your grace. We desire to serve You and to please You. Make us, Lord, as holy as You can make sinners that are saved by Your grace. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we left off in Acts chapter 2 last time, that little ending portion, verses 41 to 47, seems to be a synopsis, encapsulation, if you will, of the period of time that's going to take place from when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in power, preached from Peter the word of God, that 3,000 souls came to the Lord, about 3,000 souls, and then it presents this habit of character, this habitual character that was developed by growing in the Word and by growing in grace, of desiring to be in fellowship one with another. It says in verse 42 of chapter 2, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And then in verse 46, it says that they, oh, in verse 45, it says, "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." And I think I picked up on that last time to mention that that will come actually in Acts chapter 5. End of Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, and then we'll see a bit of a tragedy, but also a purifying, if you will, and we'll see that, Lord willing, when we get to Acts chapter 5. So it includes something that happens a little bit later. So this ending portion here in verses 41 to 47 give us the characteristics of this primitive church, the early church, as God is developing it in the truth of His Word. And as we look at it, we see the principles of truth that won't apply to us directly, but we can take those things and not only find comfort to our souls, but see how God's providence moves in our lives as we gather as believers, as in our local churches. In verse 46, it says, of chapter 2, it says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, it says that the Lord added daily. And so, you know, this isn't just that one day. It is taking that picture of all that will be seen up until chapter 7, when persecution will come upon that early church. And then now the word will start going out, fulfilling the Lord's command to the disciples as they should wait in Jerusalem and not leave there until the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, would come upon them. And after the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that they should be witnesses unto Jesus Christ. They shall be witnesses unto him with power by that Holy Spirit that comes upon them, that fills them, and not only dwells with them, but lives inside, abides inside every believer. As it says in Romans 8, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, as they gathered daily, and that they also, it says, that they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Now, did they actually do that? We don't know absolutely for sure that they were in every house every day, or if they were in the temple every day. There were times that they were gathered in the temple with teaching and so forth. There were times that, and prayer, and there were times that they were going from house to house. Now, it is a tremendous blessing that it isn't absolutely outlined, because the propensity of our flesh in sin that still remains because we are descendants of Adam, that though we're saved by grace, we might have a tendency to move into, well, Lord, if it says this, then this is what I have to do. And that there's nothing of the heart in it. There's nothing of the regenerated heart man or woman, that new man, it's not there. It is basically just a will of the flesh, and that is not Christ, that is not Christian, that is not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity, that doesn't say that you aren't, I want to put this in there, that doesn't mean that you are necessarily saved. We need to identify those things. Those are occasions of the flesh that war and lust against the spirit that is our, the new spirit within us, that we're made alive in Christ, and it wars against actually the Holy Spirit. Our flesh wants to receive glory, but God is the only one who is worthy of glory. So as we move into Acts chapter 3, and noting this from the end of Acts chapter 2, I would like to say this, and I said it last time when we looked at these last portions of Acts chapter 2, that as we spent so much time in Acts chapter 2, I want to emphasize that there are people that will only go to the television or the radio listening to me, and I thank God that you are listening to me, and I pray that you continue to do so. It is on a Saturday to break off from what you're doing, to listen to the Word of God, to open up the Word of God at noonday. I pray that you continue to do so. I pray that you continue to contribute to Grace Radio. And this is listener supported, so programs that aren't packaged and told to Grace Radio in Anniston and the radio waves that go forth into Anniston, Gadsden, all of Calhoun County, and so forth, we're the station manager is not dictated to what to play, because we are listener supported, and we praise God for that. That way we can be free to be confined to that which the scriptures say, and not what somebody would impose upon us to say, because it is listener supported. And so we praise God that this is a venue, a medium that we can use for that. But the scriptures also say, as wonderful as it is that we have this radio opportunities, and even some of the television programs aren't too bad. I say some, and that some is a very small sum of them. I don't watch really any of them, but the ones that I have seen in the past years are not worth wasting the electricity on. But if this is the only place, if this radio or the television is the only, or videos or whatever of that nature are the only place that you get your spiritual growth, you are out of the will of God according to his word. Hebrews chapter 10 says that that we should, as the day approaches, we should not forsake the gathering together of ourselves. We should be gathering together of ourselves, assembling together, because when we do, the spirit that is within you, the spirit that is within me, it stirs us up to provoke one another, to stir up one another unto love and good works, to be ministered unto through by the word, but also by the Spirit. And in that gathering, as Jesus said, the important truth of Jesus saying this, that where two or three are gathered together, there I am also in the midst of them. That is a great truth, and we're not bound to a particular building to be able to gather. And so where two people gather, what a great truth that is a work of God to minister one to another. As iron, it says in the Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron. But the corporate gathering together in unified worship through the word to worship God in spiritual truth, so we can sing with one voice and one accord unto God, that where prayers can be united, and God uses that means of prayer. He doesn't have to, in one sense, he doesn't have to use prayer, but that's what God has ordained as one of the means to pray, and pray according to God's will. And God's will is found in God's word. And as we gather together as believers, not forsaking the gathering together as believers, there is a tremendous blessing in that. We are strengthened and encouraged by the Spirit through other believers. And then there becomes a care for those believers, that the truths that we see in the New Testament, that we do not live unto ourselves, but we live as a body of Christ, Jesus Christ being the head of that body. And I've said all that in order to say to you that we need to make sure that this isn't the only place that we are seeking. This is a supplement to where you should be in regular fellowship. Now, you may not be led to come to our church. I pray that if that's where God wants you, that's where you should be. But if that's not where God wants you, if that's not where he's placing you within the body, there are other places here in Anniston. I am very blessed to say that two other folks that are right here in Anniston who bring the gospel and the word of truth over the radio are friends of mine who I enjoy their fellowship dearly. They love the Lord. They believe in the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the importance and supremacy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, salvation in him alone. They believe in the authority of Scripture. They believe in the sovereignty of God. They believe in the power, the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit to save lives by the word of God. As I'm often saying on the radio program, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't happen to have the Bible with you handy, you're driving on the road, that's all right. Listen, I pray that I'll be giving the word of God, at least in that the corruptions of my flesh don't spoil it. But if you have a Bible, see, that's where our flesh comes in. We might say, well, you know, this is kind of convenient. And a Bible is only an arm's length away. Don't just take my word for it. If you're just sitting there and, well, let me just soak it in. Brother John has been pretty close. You know, he's been, as far as the reading of the word, he's been right on. He's reading the word. I don't have to open up to it. Well, you read it. You bring, if you have the opportunity, you grab that word, you set it before you, and you read it along with me to make sure that I am holding to the truth and I didn't slip up, because I will make mistakes. I am but flesh. I am made lower than the angels. What is man, God says through the psalmist? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou takest thought of him? We are but dust. We're just balls of mud and clay. So I encourage you that if it's not here, Carlton Weathers up at Grace Fellowship Community Church, what a blessing it is for me to see someone that, well, I can say so young now. He's only a little older than my oldest son, 34 or 35 years old. Carlton, if you're listening to this, I hope I got your age right. What an encouraging young man he is to love Christ and to love his truth. I'm very blessed to call him my friend, and a co-minister in the Lord in this field of Anniston, Alabama, in Calhoun County, bringing the gospel to those that are lost and bringing the word of life to those who are saved, that we might grow in grace and be strengthened in faith together. Bob St. John. Both of these men are on during the weekdays. I think it's a little after about 12:30, somewhere around just about 12:30 following the news. You'll have Bob St. John will come on for a little while, and then you'll have following him will be Carlton Weathers. Both of these men are dear friends of mine. And if one of their churches, Anniston Bible Church, where Bob St. John is pastor, or Grace Fellowship Community Church, where Carlton Weathers is pastor, if that's where God has you to go, then you get there and you sit under the teaching. And why is that important? Why is that important? Because it is, yes, it is by the word. And regardless of how they are, regardless of how I am, it is certainly by the word, because God can speak through a donkey to bring forth his truth. They remember the story of Balaam in the book of Numbers? Yes, God can speak through a donkey. And in fact, Balaam was a false prophet in the New Testament. And Peter tells us that in the New Testament, in his letter, he says that Balaam was a false prophet, and God used him in. Even after the donkey spoke to him, and he speaks back to the donkey, that he spoke four times the word of God, and he was a false prophet. You know that goes on today. There are men who give just a little bit of the word, and or even a lot of the word, and twist it so subtly. The most dangerous ones are the ones that give much of the word and twist it so subtly in the most important place. And that's why you have to be on guard. But again, let me get back to the preachers. When you are gathering with the believers, one of the things that becomes your responsibility to do is not to be under a critical, condemning kind of judgment upon the pastors or ministers and the elders and deacons that are within the church, that is the local church where you're attending. Say, oh, well, he messed up and he should be kicked out, and oh, I can't believe that he's preaching like that. Or it is to see that the Word of God attests to that which they preach is that which they are growing in, that you will see a character within them, that God has grown them to be these men of God, that you can say, this is genuine, this is real. Because if they're a sinner like me, saved by God's grace, then I can attest to the fact that there's something going on there. He not only preaching this truth that I see from the word, he is not only believing it, because there are many people that believe what they're saying. It doesn't make it necessarily true or truth. Adolf Hitler, I would say, believed that he was doing a service unto the world by exterminating 6 million Jews. Osama bin Laden, he probably believes. He believes that he is doing a service to Allah. Okay, so there's, you have that. These preachers, Carlton believes what he is preaching, Bob St. John, but our lives are transformed also by this. There is a testimony of that. We see it by the word, because the word says that we should walk like this. And though we do fail and we do stumble, there is that transparency there, and you can say, hey, they're real. And you need to not just listen to me on the radio, though I'm bringing that truth. You need to be within the gathering of believers, because it's commanded by God. And that command does not bring you salvation. It is God himself that brings salvation. And because the command is there, now I want to submit to the power that is given by the Holy Spirit that fell on that Pentecostal day as a permanent indwelling to all who are saved. All who do believe, they're given the grace of belief, of faith. They're given the grace of repentance before God that brings forth fruit of the Spirit. And in that growth, I desire to live up to whatever commands God is revealing to me in the scriptures. And one of those is to gather together. You're missing out when you don't. Are you under a legalism if you're certainly saved to say, well, I don't need to gather. I gather with my family. And you should be doing that too, beloved. You should be worshiping at home with your family. Devotional time, reading the scriptures, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs in your heart and even to one another. You should be doing that in a setting of praying together. That should be going on. Family worship should be taking place. That was the part that we read in breaking bread from house to house. But I do encourage you, if it's not our church, please do so. There's information. If I've said it too quick, call up the radio station. Talk to John Holder. Find out where his church is. Find out where our church is. If this is what you're being led to, find out where Bob St. John's church is. Hey, and then you know what? Tell him Brother John sent you. Not that I'm going to get any rewards for that, and I don't care to. I truly desire to see that the word of God that's going forth through Grace Radio is making a difference in people's lives. The word of God is sufficient to change a sinner like me who was caught up in all worldliness and flesh for many years until the grace of God descended upon me and I found favor in the sight of the Lord. Not because I was looking for it, but because when it was revealed, there it was. I found it. And what a joy that is. God's word moving upon the souls of those who are worthy of nothing but eternal death. In chapter 3, we're just finally getting to it as we move along. In chapter 3, it says, now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. Verse 5, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Here they are in the Solomon's porch or Solomon's portico. In the colonnade that would surround what is known as the court of the Gentiles. And Peter and John went up to pray. And what is interesting here, now, Acts chapter 3 is broken up into basically two portions. You have the first part, which we have just read in verses 1 through 11, this lame man being healed by the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of God. Because, and I say it that way because when we do go into chapter 3, verses 12 through 26, the second half of this chapter, Peter makes it known. Some commentaries you might see if you have a Bible commentary, some of them, even good ones, respected ones, might say that in this portion they sum up this verses 1 through 11 by saying that this lame man was healed by Peter and John. And yes, certainly, they were the vehicle that was used, but Peter makes it known in his preaching In fact, let's read it. Peter saw it when he ans and he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, and why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" He says further, as he tells them in verse 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and of the and the God of our fathers," or "the God of our fathers, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So Peter right there is telling them, look, though it doesn't say in the text that they were looking and saying, "Wow, look at what Peter and John have done. Look at what these men from Galilee have done when they come up to pray. Man, they're full of power." But the gaze on them, onto Peter and John, even as the gaze of the man when he says, "Look on us," to that man, these people are looking around saying, "Wow." And Peter sets them straight by that supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach forth in power to say, "Look, remove that thing. Don't raise us up. It is Christ who is God, the Son of God, the second person of the triune God who was incarnate, was born of a virgin, died at your hands. You've killed him. And he's raised again, alive forevermore. It is the power of him and his very name, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin." His very name and faith in that name, the name of Jesus. Later on, he'll say that there is no name given in heaven and earth by which men may be saved. He speaks forth the name of Jesus Christ to not raise up the name of Peter or the name of John. So we want to recognize that it is by Jesus Christ. They went to the temple to pray, and lo and behold, they went there going to do something, yet God had another plan. But we'll see it a little bit more. We'll see it a little bit more from focusing on those verses 1 through 11 next time, because we have run out of time going over these things. I do encourage you to be in fellowship. I do encourage you to be in the word and in prayer. That's not just for those apostles. It is for everyone, saved by God's grace. Let's pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that your word comes forth mightily unto our souls, unto those that may not be saved, that just tuned in, even by accident, Lord. May they cry out by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, "What must I do to be saved?" And then may that come to them, nothing but to repent and believe, but that only comes by the power of your grace, Lord. Minister unto them that they have a supernatural awakening by your power. We pray, Lord, that you're glorified in this time, and pray that we may, if you should tarry, that we may stay in the word, remain in the word, and in prayer for your glory and for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And in his name we do thank you and pray. Amen.